for tape, CDs, DVDs to our publication Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. This is the 2016 Memorial Day Teaching and Deliverance Camp meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp in Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Thursday evening, May the 26th, 2016. Carla B. Todd is the speaker of the service teaching on Breaking Satan's Grounds.
Good evening.
Good evening.
It's good to be here.
Amen.
How many are here for the first time? Awesome. Awesome. That's great. You're in for a treat.
Yeah. Amen.
I was thinking yesterday, I drove up yesterday, and I was thinking about asking, how many of you are here because everything in your life is just so fabulous you have to come and share it? Oh, good for you. We come because we have needs. And, you know, this place is called a deliverance camp because we do deliverance here. Thank God there is a place to go and get deliverance. Years ago, when the Holy Ghost was, people were receiving the baptism of the Holy Ghost, and you were a member of a church that didn't do that, you had to go off to some camp somewhere. Praise God for the camps that were there for people to go from their churches to be baptized in the Holy Ghost. So, you know, it's really sad that all of these things are not done in every church. Jesus meant for this to be going on in every congregation. It's a gift to us. And the reason we have such problems in the church or in among Christians, I'll put it that way, among Christians is because we have not utilized all the gifts that He has given us. And so I'm thankful for Lake Hamilton. My first time here was in 2001, and I've been here ever since, and I guess I will be here until they chase me off or God says time's up. Okay, so before we start, I just want to mention a few things. If you did not pick up a paper, it's back there on the book table by the cash register. These are the guidelines that have been set up for Lake Hamilton. You know, everywhere you go, I remember telling my children because they didn't like some of the rules. And I told them, I said, well, guess what? You know, when you're 18, you can move to your own place, live by your own rules. And one day I thought, you know, that's not even true. If you rent an apartment, you're going to have someone to answer to. If you are on a job, you're going to have a boss that you're going to answer to. You are going to answer to somebody everywhere you go. You can't just go do what you want to do. Some people think they can. Doesn't work out so well. There's places for those people. And they're told what to do every hour of the day. Okay, but really, I want you to read all of these. I want to point out a couple of things, that there is to be no food or drink in the sanctuary, that lights are to be out by 10:30, and please be respectful of who's in the room next to you. It's hard to have perfect quiet, but sometimes people are having fun, and we don't begrudge you that. But remember, the person in the room next to you might be wanting to go to sleep. So lights out at 10:30. Also, there is to be no food brought into the rooms. There's a reason for that. Roaches, ants, mice, varmints, you know. So we don't eat in the rooms. You can bring treats, go sit in your car and eat them, or sit outside and eat them, but don't bring them in the room. Also, I would ask you that, this is not on here, I don't think, that when you leave the room, please turn off the lights. The electric bill here is enormous, and as we as parents know, turn out the lights. If you're not going to be in the room, turn out the lights. And the last thing that I would like to mention is that we are happy that all of you are here. There may be some of you sitting out there that are more equipped to be up here than I am, but we don't know you. We say this for your protection. We ask that if you have need of prayer, come to one of the ministers or the people who work here and get prayer. Don't let the people in the room next to you pray. We ask that you don't have your own private prayer meetings on the campground. You know, God is a God of order. And when we stay in that order, He blesses it. When we step out of that order, He can't bless that because it's rebellion. And so we just ask that you abide by the rules while you're here so that you can get everything that God has for you. Okay, so tonight I want to start. We're going to break some grounds that the devil likes to take advantage of. One of the things is generational things. You know, we were born and we came with a package of stuff that we didn't sign up for, that came with our generational ancestry. And so we're going to take care of some of those tonight because sometimes, there are things that will block other things from happening. And so we want to take care of some of those things tonight. I'm going to start by reading in John chapter 11. We were talking about breaking the chains. Father, right now in the name of Jesus, I want to bind those ruler spirits that would try to protect the grounds that are in all of us here tonight. I bind the spirit of Antichrist. I bind the religious spirits that would want to hold us hostage. I bind spiritual deafness and dumbness in the name of Jesus Christ. I bind every hindering spirit, every blocking spirit. I bind the lying spirit that would stand between me and you and change my words so that you hear something that I didn't really say. I bind that lying spirit right now in the name of Jesus. I bind the perverse spirit that would try to twist what I say. I bind the spirit of offense in the name of Jesus. Sometimes we need to hear some truth, but as we know, the truth can be painful sometimes. And so I just bind the spirit of offense that would cause you to rise up and grab all your stuff and go home. That's happened before. And so I bind that spirit of offense so that you can receive everything that God has for you in Jesus' name. Okay, in John chapter 11, it's the story of Lazarus. And there is a symbolism that I love in this story of Lazarus. We all know it pretty well. If you don't, you can go back and read the whole story at another time. But we know that Lazarus died. They sent for Jesus, but he didn't come right away. And he did that on purpose, but that's kind of hard to understand. But, you know, God has, his ways are not our ways. And so Lazarus died, and his sisters were pretty upset that he didn't come. And so one of them met him out before he even got to the house. And he told her that if you would believe, you will see the glory of God. And he said to her that your brother shall rise again. So I want to read, I'm going to start with verse 34. Jesus said, "Where have you laid him?" They said unto him, "Lord, come and see." Jesus wept. Then said the Jews, "Behold how he left him." And some of them said, "Could not this man who opened the eyes of the blind have caused that even this man should not have died?" Jesus, therefore, again groaning in himself, cometh to the grave. It was a cave, and a stone lay upon it. Jesus said, take away the stone. Martha, can you imagine the people standing around there? Martha, the sister of him that was dead, said unto him, Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he hath been dead 4 days. Jesus said unto her, said I not unto thee that if thou wouldst believe, thou shouldst see the glory of God? Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid, and Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me, and I knew that thou hearest me always. But because of the people who stand by, I said, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. And when he had thus spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. See, Lazarus was dead. That symbolizes us before we are born again. We really are dead men walking. Our spirits have not been born again, so we're dead, basically, spiritually. But Jesus came, and Lazarus had an encounter with Jesus that day when he said, Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound about with a cloth. Jesus said unto them, loose him and let him go. When we were singing that song, break every chain, see those grave clothes, even though he had been made alive again, he could not function because he was bound with grave clothes. We are born with grave clothes that came from our ancestors, and along the way we pick up some of our own grave clothes, things that bind us up and keep us from being able to live the Christian life successfully. Now, theoretically, and many people will argue that these things were taken care of at the cross. Jesus did it all. And my question always is, then why are we having problems? No. Our sin was dealt with. Our spirits were made perfect. But we live in an imperfect vessel because of the flesh. So through the sanctification process, those things that defile the temple. Another symbolic story that I like to use is when Jesus cast the money changers out of the temple. See, in the Old Testament, the tabernacle was three parts, an outer court, an inner court, and the Holy of Holies. And in Corinthians, we are referred to as the temple of the Holy Ghost. Us. We. And so, we are also three parts. We are body, soul, and spirit. So, when Jesus walked into that temple, and those money changers were there in the outer court, they were defiling the temple of God. And Jesus cast them out. See, that's symbolic. He cast those things out that were defiling the temple. Just like when he said, in my name you shall cast out demons. That's what we do. We cast them out. They're not in your spirit. They're in your flesh and your soul. And so that is a process that has to be done. Jesus told them, loose him and let him go. They had to remove the grave clothes. And symbolically, that's what we do here at Lake Hamilton, and especially at 6 o'clock in the morning. And let me tell you, the reason we have that 6 o'clock prayer meeting is, let me tell you, this place right here, this floor, for 30-whatever years that Lake Hamilton has been here, there has been so much prayer go forth in that 6 o'clock prayer meeting. There is an anointing here that is, it remains. It says in the Word that we have a great cloud of witnesses. Every person who's ever stood here, God can still see them, like they're right here. They are the great cloud of witnesses. So when you come, there is an anointing the corporate anointing to do whatever it is that you need him to do. If you catch me out on the parking lot, it's not the same. In fact, I won't even pray for people on the parking lot anymore, because God showed me that. He has an order. And 6 o'clock in the morning is when it happens. And so if you really came hoping to have one-on-one prayer, that's when you need to do it, is 6 o'clock in the morning. Okay. So, generational curses, and I will have people argue with me that there's no such thing as generational curses because it was taken care of at the cross. And I asked the Lord, what would you say to somebody who said that? And he said, if there were no such thing as generational curses, there would be no need for anyone to be saved, because it happened in the first generation. And that is still happening. It's alive and well and in motion today. That's why we need a Savior. So we're going to look at you can jot these down, because let me tell you, you're not here just to receive deliverance. Jesus said, freely you have received, freely give. So when it's time for you to step out in this same capacity, you're going to need some of these things to back up what you're saying. So in Genesis chapter 1, it's where it started, right? Genesis chapter 1, I'm going to read verses 11 and 12. It says, and God said, let the earth bring forth vegetation, the herb yielding seed, the fruit tree yielding fruit after its kind, whose seed is in itself upon the earth. And it was so. And the earth brought forth vegetation, and herb yielding seed after its kind, and the tree yielding fruit, whose seed was in itself after its kind, and God saw that it was good. So you see, he made the trees. The trees, each tree would have a particular fruit. Each fruit would have seed inside of it to reproduce like fruit. But in people, it kind of works the same way. The man has a seed, and it reproduces after its kind. So in Genesis 13 is another place. Genesis 13, 16. And I will make thy seed as the dust of the earth. That's what he told Abraham. So that if a man can number the dust, well, his name was Abram at this time. As the dust of the earth, so that if a man can number the dust of the earth, then shall thy seed also be numbered. So see, man has seed. My mother and daddy, I am the seed of my mother and daddy. I have children who are the seed of Mike and me. And they reproduce after their kind. So whatever is in Mike and me, and generationally backwards, those things come down the generational line, and you bear the fruit of it. Okay? So I want you to see an example of that. In Genesis 12, verse 10 through 13, it says, and there was a famine in the land, and Abraham went down into Egypt to sojourn there, for the famine was grievous in the land. And it came to pass, when he was come near into Egypt, that he said unto Sarai his wife, behold now, I know that thou art a fair woman to look upon. Therefore it shall come to pass, when the Egyptians shall see thee, that they shall say, this is his wife, and they will kill me, but they will say, thee alive. Say, I pray thee, thou art my sister, that it may be well with me for thy sake, and my soul shall live because of thee. So Abram was fearful that they would kill him to take his wife. So he lies. He makes a plan to protect himself, which we do that too. We have a fear. We make a plan. We devise a lie. And we live it out. This is what Abram did. Okay, so now I want you to look over in Genesis 26. This is how I found out about generational curses. Genesis 26, verse 1. And there was a famine in the land beside the first famine that was in the days of Abraham. And Isaac went unto Abimelech, king of the Philistines, unto Gerar. And the Lord appeared unto him and said, Go not down into Egypt. Dwell in the land which I shall tell thee of. Sojourn in this land, and I will be with thee, and I will bless thee. For unto thee and unto thy seed I will give all these countries, and I will perform the oath which I swore unto Abraham thy father. And I will make thy seed to multiply as the stars of heaven, and will give unto the seed all these countries, and in thy seed shall the nations of the earth be blessed. Because that Abraham obeyed my voice and kept my charge, my commandments, my statutes, and my laws. And Isaac dwelt in Gerar, and the men of the place asked him of his wife, and he said, She is my sister. For he feared to say, She is my wife, lest, said he, the men of the place should kill me for Rebekah, because she was fair to look upon. When I first started reading the Old Testament, I read that and I thought, well, I just read this story. Why are they repeating it? Flip back. Oh, my goodness. Same story, different people. Abraham and Sarah. Now Isaac and Rebekah. Oh, wait a minute. We've all heard the term like father, like son. And here's biblical proof. Like father, like son. So it's generational. You inherited from your parents blessings and cursings. Blessings and curses. We were talking about this one day, my aunt and I, sweet, I love her, Baptist. She doesn't believe in curses. So I was saying, well, you know, she said, oh, I don't believe anybody put a curse on us. I said, no, I don't mean like that. I mean like, you know, like we have alcoholism in our family. Would you call that a blessing? Well, no. Well, if it's not a blessing, it's a curse. You know, it's not just a sickness. It actually is a curse, and it's generationally passed down the bloodline. You know, you can have a grandpa, and he can be the coolest grandpa. He can work with wood better than anybody else in the world. And that story gets passed down generation to generation. But nobody reveals the secret that he molested all the kids. See, that would be a curse. That's not a blessing. He has things that are passed down that are blessings to us, but there's also other things that get passed down that are not blessings. Somebody may sing with the voice of an angel, but they're a raging alcoholic. See, we have that, the darkness and the light. And that's what these chains are, things that bind us up. And you know, when you get saved, sometimes those things are sovereignly wiped away, but most of the time they're not. And here you are with this conflict. Your spirit is made perfect. You love Jesus with all of your heart. But no matter how hard you try, you cannot keep that temper from flaring up. No matter how hard you try, you just can't do it. I liken these things, demons. They're evil spirits is what they are. I liken them to, compare it to like, if you've ever been in a swimming pool with a rubber ball and you hold that ball under the water, you know how hard it is to keep that ball under the water? Because everything in there wants to pop that ball up out of the water. That's what I say having a demon is like. Well, you can keep it there for a while, but after a while, that thing's going to pop up when you least want it to. The word says Jesus made an open show of the demons. And I love that because you know what? For years, those demons made an open show of me when I was a raging Jezebel, screaming and hollering, controlling everybody, and beware if you don't do what I said. You all know people like that. They get mad, everybody scatters. I can remember hiding under a bed from my sweet Baptist aunt. When she would, it ran in our family. That was the thing that was passed down. And boy, you could see it coming. And when it hit, boy, I didn't want to be around when it hit. I'd be under the bed, hoping she wouldn't find me. My children can tell you same kind of story. I'm not proud of those days, but I am so thankful to God for the ministry of deliverance.
Yeah.
You know, a man in a city near us had a meeting. I was invited to do a meeting at this place, and it was well attended, and everybody was loving the message and, you know, getting understanding. And then the fellow that was like a favorite prophet around, he came around and said, "There is no such thing as a ministry of deliverance. It's not even mentioned in the Bible. There's no such thing." And the next meeting we had, there was the pastor and his wife. He did much damage. Well, you know what? I respect the gift of God in that man. He does have a gift of prophecy. But guess what? There's something on the flip side. It's an antichrist spirit. Because you cannot dispute the word of God. If it's written in red and he said you will cast out demons, if he said that it is for the children, it's the children's bread, we are the children. So we need to be careful. Okay, so in Exodus 20, we also inherit sicknesses from our ancestors. That's why when you go to the doctor, they give you a piece of paper with every disease known to man on it. And a little box for you to check if you have that in your family. Do you know why they want to know if it's in your family? Because it's in the seed. And it's coming down. They understand that. That's science. They are proving the Word of God is true with their questionnaire. If it's in your family, you might have it because you're producing fruit after its kind. Okay, so we're gonna break some of those generational curses tonight. Okay, then I wanted to read Exodus 20. That's in the Ten Commandments, by the way. And in verse 5, it says, well, up above it, let's go to 4 or 3. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. This is Exodus 20, verse 3. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. If you do, it's idolatry. Thou shalt not make unto thee any carved images or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above or that is in the earth beneath or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them nor serve them, for I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me. Now, most people right there would say, oh, thank goodness, I've never hated God. So that doesn't apply to me. But here's the reality. Before we accepted Jesus Christ as our Savior, some people have accepted Jesus Christ as their Savior, but they've yet to make Him Lord of their life. But before we were saved, we were our own God. So we've all been guilty of idolatry. And so these things are passed down to the children of the third and the fourth generation. And it just keeps going and going and going until someone stopped it. Although, there's no other way really to get rid of those things other than to bring them to Jesus and let Him cast them out through His believers. He's sitting at the right hand of God the Father now. He's done all He's going to do on earth. He went there to send Himself into each one of us. And now he's given us the commission to do what he did. After we're saved, that's our purpose, is to do what he did. So that word hate is not what you and I think it is. It has to do with loyalty. And before we make him Lord, we've all been disloyal. Even after we make him Lord, we're disloyal to God. Thank goodness for repentance. 1 John 1:9 says, if, I want to make that clear, because there is a message of grace out there that says you don't have to ask forgiveness of your sins anymore, because that grace has reached as far as you will ever live and it's already forgiven everything you will ever do. Well, theoretically, that is true. But in 1 John 1:9, it says, if you confess your sin, he is faithful and just. Well, if you confess and he's faithful and just to forgive your sin and cleanse you of all unrighteousness, then would it be true to say, if you don't confess your sin, he's not forgiving you or washing you clean? We have to be careful. It might sound good, but if it doesn't line up with the Word of God, you better toss it out quick, because there is a deception coming on the land. It's already here, deceiving people, pulling them away from the faith. 1 Timothy 4, verse 1 says, in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of demons. But see, God showed me that it's not that people will fall away from the faith and then give heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of demons. It is giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of demons that will lead you away from the faith. So we have to be very careful. So if you were looking at generational curses, when I first saw that, I took a piece of notebook paper and folded it in half. And on one side, I put, well, I really didn't need to put the blessing. I knew the good things that were in me that I inherited, a sense of humor, of thoughtfulness, you know, different things that I had learned in my growing up. But there were also some things that I didn't like about myself. Now, people will say, all you ever talk about is demons, and all you ever talk about is curses, and all you ever talk about is all the bad stuff. And I said, well, is the good stuff giving you any trouble? Let's deal with the bad stuff. We don't need to deal with the good stuff. I want to help you with your bad stuff. Let me tell you, recently, I don't know whose idea it was, but we are going to have a cousin's cruise with all of the cousins that I grew up with. A 7-day cruise. Well, because with Mike and I have so many uncertainties in our life right now, we take care of his parents. And, you know, you don't make plans when you're taking care of the aged infirmed right now. There will be a time when we can make plans. So we're not going. and everybody is really sad about that. But, you know, I told Mike, well, gosh, if we were going to spend $1,000 to go somewhere, my first choice would not be a cruise. And it surely wouldn't be to bring all of my cousins with us for 7 days. I love them, but come on. So anyway, in the family, okay, so I am writing down all the things I don't like about myself. Critical, opinionated, talk too much, jealous. I wrote down the list of all the things that I could think about that I didn't really like about myself. And on the other side, I wrote down where that came from. Well, I got this from my daddy. I got this from my mama. Well, neither one of my parents have this, but this is a lot like my aunt. You know, you could just see the pattern of that inheritance. And the third and the fourth generation, not just I always thought when I had children it'd just be a combination of Mike and me. But when I started understanding it, it's Mike and me, my mom and dad, and his mom and dad, and their moms and dads, and their moms and dads. So the gene pool is big, and all of those characteristics are trickling down like that Plinko game on Price is Right. You just drop that thing, and it's bouncing around, and you just never know where it's going to end. So you can come from the same family. That's why we're different. You can have three children, and they're all so different. How did that happen? Well, that's how it happened. It's the generational thing. Okay, also, in breaking generational curses, we need to break oaths, covenants, and dedications that may have been made on our behalf by the when we were in the loins of our forefathers. You know, if we could trace back, we would probably be horrified at some of the things that our ancestors were in. And believe it or not, those things have an effect on us because there are familiar spirits attached to all of those things. And those also travel down family lines. That's how you can go to a psychic and she's going to tell you about your great Aunt Jean who had a little dog named Puff. And then you think, oh my goodness, this woman is real. This is real. But really and truly what it is you have familiar spirits that have been in your family for generations. And if we could see in the spirit realm, I've been asking God to open my eyes to see the spirit realm. I'm not sure I want to see it though, actually. But you know, it'd be good to know what you're dealing with. But that's why we need discernment, because you can know what you're dealing with. But there are spirits all around us. And these spirits communicate with the spirit around the psychic, and they're having a conversation over our heads that we don't know about. The one that knows about Aunt Jean with the dog named Puff tells the spirit behind the psychic. That spirit communicates with her, and then she speaks it out. That's how those things work. It's demonic. It's divination. It's witchcraft. It's from the kingdom of darkness. If you've ever played with a Ouija board, same thing. There's a demon right there pushing that thing. And let me tell you, spirits can come out of that board. There was a case of a little boy that came here, and he had a demon, a big demon spirit, and I was going to pray for him. God told me he had an ancient spirit, and so I wanted to cast that ancient spirit out. So I was praying. He was sitting right there in that chair, and I was sitting next to him, and when I started praying, he says, "You want to know what his name is?" I said, "Okay, Bob." I said, "Okay." Then I'm speaking to Bob, the ancient spirit named Bob. And then he said, "You want to know how he got there?" And I said, "Okay." He said, "My mama was laying on the bed playing with a Ouija board, and Bob came out of the Ouija board and got into me." Well, that was interesting. When I went to the mother and asked her about it, she nearly fainted. And I said, "What is it?" She said, "There's no way he could have known that. I was pregnant with him when that happened." But you see, these things are real. You don't play around with things from the kingdom of darkness. So our ancestors may have made oaths, covenants, dedications. I know this is real big in like the Indian heritage. They will pass down, like when a woman gets pregnant, they will begin to, you know, declare over the baby, and then they're locked in. If you have cycles of life that keeps coming and circling back and circling back, it could be that there was an oath made on your behalf by an ancestor, or maybe it's an oath that you made yourself. Sometimes people say they'll get hurt in several relationships. Well, I just tell you what, I'm never having another relationship again. I'm never letting anybody get that close to me again. I'm never going to let anybody hurt me like that again. And then you have locked yourself in a place and you just can't ever seem to meet anybody. You forget what you said, but it became a word-spoken curse. We have to be careful what we say with our mouths. We may have cursed our own self. In James, it says about our mouths, James chapter 3, it's talking about our tongues, and it compares it to the rudder of a ship. Your tongue can be the rudder of your ship. So you have to be careful of the things you say. Verse 5 says, even so the tongue is a little member and boasteth great things. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body, and setteth on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire of hell. Do you know how strong that is? To say something that sets on fire the course of nature. I learned that really young when it was Thanksgiving. One of my cousins, we grew up together. She's like a sister to me. And she was standing at the stove. She was probably 9 or 10. My mother had this Corningware, or was it Pyrex? I think it was Pyrex, glass double boiler. So you could see the water boiling in the glass bottom, and she would put cheese in the top to melt it. And my cousin was standing there going, sure seems like that thing should break. I don't see how you can boil water in a glass pot. It just seems like that would break. I don't get it. And she just stood there and kept saying it, and I'm telling you, that thing busted. I never forgot that. And I spoke one out of my mouth, well, two that I know of. My brother and I used to go at it. He was 5 years older than me, too big for me to really get back. So he and I were in a word fight one day, and my grandmother was standing between us trying to break us up, and I'm yelling at him over her shoulder, and he was yelling at me, and I said, oh, go break your neck. And we parted and went our own ways. Well, later that day, he was playing football with some boys in the backyard. And my older brother came in and said, I think I might need to call an ambulance for Jerry. And he had fractured his neck. I felt terrible. And then, of course, my grandmother, look what you did. You did that, you know, but... And then when I was older, she would come stay with me. Now my brother's gone off to the Navy, and she was from a generation where, you know, you didn't entertain people in your bedroom. Well, I couldn't have my girlfriends over and go to the bedroom because she wanted to sit in the living room with her. And, oh, it would just make me so mad. My mom would give me permission to go down the road to my friend's house, and I'd be there 5 minutes, and she'd be calling, you need to come home now. I remember sitting, plopping down on my bed, and I said, I will be so glad when she is dead and gone. And 2 days later, she was in intensive care with a ruptured gallbladder, poison in her pancreas, and she was not going to live. And after that, I was very careful what I said with my mouth. There's power in the tongue. She lived, by the way. All my aunts and uncles were sitting in there crying because she was going to die, and I was crying because I thought it was my fault. I was asking God to forgive me. I didn't mean it, Lord. I really didn't mean it. I didn't really want her to die. But, you know, we need to be careful what we say. Our words have power. So we're going to break some of these things because I want to get a lot of stuff out of the way so that whatever God wants to do with you, we've already got a head start. Okay, the next one I want to talk about is unforgiveness. It is a biggie. It's probably the one that gives us the most trouble because it involves another person. Matthew 6:14-15, Matthew 6, 14 and 15. This is in the prayer that we call the Lord's Prayer. But it says, "For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses." It couldn't be said any simpler than that. If you don't forgive, you don't get forgiven. Now, I mentioned we're here because we have problems that we want help with, but not all problems are a demon. Sometimes we want it to be cast out like a demon, but sometimes it's something that you have to stop or something you have to do. And forgiveness is a major. So if you're here and you are having an issue with anybody, a coworker, a neighbor, a friend, a relative, a husband or wife, your children, you have to forgive. That's a requirement. It's kind of like the ticket to get in. You don't forgive, you can't come in. Forgive, and you can come in. We want God to forgive us. You know, forgive others, do unto others as you want them to do unto you, right? That's the golden rule. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. So if you don't forgive, then you're asking for that same thing to be done unto you. You have to forgive. Matthew 18:32-35. This is the parable of the man that owed a lot of money, and the collector was going to sell his family to pay off the debt, and the man begged him, and the man had compassion on him and forgave him his whole debt. Isn't that beautiful? And then he had somebody that owed him a little bit, and he went out and choked him, took him by the throat, demanding their money, and when he didn't give it, he had him thrown into debtor's prison. Well, when the fellow that forgave him heard that, it says in verse 32, well, verse 31, "So when his fellow servants saw what was done, they were very sorry, and came and told unto their Lord all that was done. Then his Lord, after he had called him, said unto him, O thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all that debt because thou besought me. Shouldst thou not also have had compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee? And his Lord was angry and delivered him to the tormentors till he should pay all that was due unto him. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if ye from your hearts forgive not every one his brother his trespasses." That's pretty serious. Torment means very great pain, suffering, cause to worry or fear. It means severe physical or mental suffering and oppression. So could it be that if you're suffering any of these things, it's because you have not forgiven someone and you've been turned over to the tormentors? See, there are spiritual laws in the Word and nobody gets past them. It's just like gravity. You never dropped something and it went up. Maybe on the moon. Not even on the moon. It just goes down real slow. Okay, so check your heart. And you know what? You may have forgiven everybody, but you haven't forgiven yourself. Sometimes that is the hardest one to do. But give yourself grace. Forgive yourself. And then there's judging. Matthew chapter 7, 1 through 5. "Judge not, that ye be not judged. For with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged. And with what measure ye measure, it shall be measured to you again." And Wathi held us up the mud that is in our brother's eye, but considers not the beam that is in thine own eye. Or how wilt thou say to thy brother, let me pull the mote out of your eye, and behold, the beam is in thine own eye. Thou hypocrite, that's what Jesus called him. You hypocrite, first cast the beam out of thine own eye, and then shalt thou see clearly to cast the mote out of thy brother's eye. Let me tell you how I learned this. Well, I learned most of the things that I learned by the things that I suffered. And when I was young and didn't have children yet, there was a family that lived down the road, and it was a divorced mom, a single mom, and their daddy was not anywhere around, although she did have men live with her, off and on, different men. And the kids were just wild. The police were over there every so often. And they lived across the street, but I could see them from my kitchen window. So this was going on all the time. And I would tell Mike, you know, well, the police were out again over there, and la, 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 la. And I knew just what she needed to do with those boys. I knew just what they needed. I could have fixed that problem. But see, that was judging her and how she was dealing with her situation. So, didn't think too much about it. I was a Christian at that time even. But I was still, that was before I got rid of my critical eye and a lot of other things. But I grew up and had my kids, and they had trouble with the police. When I was in high school, I judged these girls that got pregnant senior year. My daughter got pregnant, had a baby out of wedlock. Everything I have judged, I am living. Don't judge. There's an old Indian saying, unless you've walked a mile on his moccasin, keep your mouth shut. And that is very true. I can have compassion now. But when you judge somebody, it's like writing a purchase order for that thing to come to your house. So do an inventory on everybody and everything you've judged, and ask God to forgive you for it. And so that your purchase order can be torn up and thrown away. I don't want that for anybody. And then we have murmuring and complaining. Murmuring and complaining. I didn't write down the scriptures for this. I think I got distracted with a phone call. But here's the deal. When Moses was the leader, the people were constantly complaining. I can just see them getting over here away from Moses, and they're all talking about Moses and criticizing the way he's leading the people. Probably thought they could do a better job of it. In fact, I think his sister and brother kind of had a little conversation like that. Oh, you think you're the only one that hears from God? Remember that? God released fiery serpents, and if they were bit, they would die. That'll shut you up. It'll also... The remedy for that was, see God's grace even then. He sent the fiery serpent because it was a judgment. But if you get bit, Moses, I want you to make a brass serpent on this staff. And if they get bit, all they have to do is look upon it and be healed. You know what that meant? They kind of had to stay close to the very one they didn't like. But do you know that one of the kings ended up having to destroy that staff with the brass serpent on it because the people had begun to worship it? See, God will give a way, but he doesn't want you to worship it. He wants you to worship him. That became what? An idol. They had many idols. You know, people make idols out of other people. Do you know what it says about an idol? God says this. He said, let them call on their idols. They have eyes, but they can't see. They have ears, but they can't hear. Do you have anybody in your life that just won't listen to you? Can't see you, even though they're right there? Have you made an idol? Check your list. Because when you make an idol out of somebody, they can't hear you, they won't hear you, and they won't see you. So, idolatry and murmuring and complaining. Maybe some of your problems are not a demon, but a fiery serpent. So we need to check our murmuring and our complaining, especially against the leader, like your husband, or your pastor, or your boss. Serious. It's a spiritual law. But thank God for repentance. So we're going to repent, and then we're going to cast out some spirits. Amen? We'll just get started tonight, and in the morning we'll have a lot better success. Each time a message is brought, each time there is an opportunity for deliverance, we've hit some of the big dogs. Okay? Okay, so I want you to stand up, because I know you are tired. You've been traveling. And so first we're going to, you know what, I think I'm going to look up that. I'm not sure I know where it is, though. That repentance prayer that I did last time, it was really good, but we're going to, repentance is repentance, right? Okay, so y'all just repeat this. Father, in the name of Jesus, I take accountability for the sins of my forefathers. I don't know what they did, but you do. And I forgive them. For the things they did that have been passed down to me and caused me problems. So, in the name of Jesus, I break the generationally inherited curses that came down my father's bloodline. His weaknesses. Now, I want to go back to the sicknesses. I want you to think about the sicknesses, the illnesses, the infirmities that your dad, his mom and dad have, his brothers and sisters, that could have come down the bloodline on you. You probably already know it if there's something you inherited from your daddy. If your daddy had diabetes and you have diabetes, or if your daddy had cancer and you have cancer, if your daddy had alcoholism and you have alcoholism, you know what they are. So I break the power of the inherited infirmities that came down my father's bloodline.
Break their power
and command them to go in the name of Jesus. Now, I break the spirit of infirmity right now. I break the curse of death off of you right now that came on all of us through Adam and Eve. I break that curse of death right now, and I break the generationally inherited infirmities from your father's bloodline. Go. Every infirmity, go in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for your shed blood. And I give leave to all the familiar spirits that have followed me down my father's bloodline, that wanted to protect me for the bad stuff. See, familiar spirits, let's just say it's divination, they will protect that spirit of divination in the person. So that's what I'm talking about. I give leave to the familiar spirit and command them to go.
And go out.
In the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
Now, Father.
Now, Father.
I break the generationally inherited curses.
I break the generationally inherited curses.
That came down on me. From my mother's bloodline.
From my mother's bloodline.
Her infirmities.
Her infirmities.
Now stop and think about them. If you've inherited anything from your mother's bloodline, I bind and break that spirit of infirmity. And you can name it if you know what it is. And command it to get out of me now. In the name of Jesus Christ. Her weaknesses.
Her bad personalities.
And I give leave to the familiar spirits that have guarded me, guided me away from the things of God. In Jesus' name. Okay, y'all can sit down. See, that spirit of death that came on all of us through Adam and Eve, when we got saved, they dealt with the sin issue. But it was sin and death. So that death spirit is working. Death, death is the ruler spirit over aging. When God told Adam and Eve, that day you shall surely die, that word die means a slow, gradual diminishing of. So you can look at diseases. That is a slow, gradual diminishing of aging, your eyesight, your strength, your youthfulness, your vigor, all of those things. That's what causes us to age and decay. So I break that spirit of death that came on all of us in Jesus' name, and I speak life into you in the name of Jesus Christ. We thank you that the same spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in us, and it will quicken our mortal bodies. That's our flesh and blood body. So I speak a quickening right now to everybody in the name of Jesus. And I bind the spirit of infirmity under the spirit of death, the ruler spirit over all infirmities. I bind you and break your power and command you to get out of God's people now. For he has abolished death and he has taken all our sickness and disease. Now I apply the shed and resurrected blood of Jesus Christ to your bodies right now. Every infirmity go in the name of Jesus Christ. I speak a reversal of damage that was done by any debilitating disease, by cancer, by degenerative diseases. In the name of Jesus, I speak a reversal. If you've had strokes or heart attacks, I speak a reversal of infections and bacterial infections, fungal infections. It says in Psalm 91 that no noisome pestilence shall come near your tent. And that word, those two words mean any ill-smelling, infectious, contagious disease or virus that covers it all.
Amen.
Now I command every sickness and disease to get out right now in Jesus' name. Okay. Say, Father, in the name of Jesus,
I
bind and break
every oath,
covenant, and dedication that was made on my behalf when I was in the loins of my forefathers. Spiritual oath, organizational oath, individual oath, word spoken curses. In the name of Jesus, I break them now. I break it. We break it. We break that chain of oaths and covenants and dedication. We cast them down, never to be seated or coming to pass in the name of Jesus. Lord, I loose your people from those oaths and covenants and dedications in Jesus' name. And I command the familiar spirits of all those organizations to go in Jesus' name. Say, Father,
Father,
in the name of Jesus,
in the name of Jesus,
I bind and break
every
word spoken curse.
Every word spoken curse.
That was spoken over my life
by Mama,
Daddy, brothers, sisters, coaches,
teachers,
friends.
Friends.
I break it now. I break those word spoken curses. And I break self-inflicted word spoken curses. Right now, in Jesus' name. And Lord, forgive me if I have spoken curses over anybody else, over my husband, my wife, my children, my siblings, teachers, whoever. I cast those word spoken curses down now, never to be seated and never coming to pass in Jesus' name. Father, in the name of Jesus, I ask you to forgive me for holding unforgiveness. Now I want you to think right now, anybody that you have held forgiveness from, and make a decision of your will to forgive them. You know, when you forgive somebody, it's not saying that what they did was okay. And what I love about learning about spirits is you can separate that evil spirit from the person. You know, that's how God loves us unconditionally. He separates us from our demons. And he loves us and gives us a way to get rid of the demons. Yes, thank you, Jesus. It's right. So forgive and forgive yourself so that there's nothing standing in the way between you and freedom. Forgive me for holding unforgiveness. And Lord, I choose to forgive. Because you said so. Now I command the tormentors to go in Jesus' name. That I was turned over to because I wouldn't forgive. See, it's like drinking poison and waiting for the other person to die. Okay, so now I command. Okay, I'll say this. I command all the tormenting spirits to go in the name of Jesus. All the very great pain, get out in Jesus' name. All the suffering, regardless of whether it's mental, emotional, physical, spiritual, I command it to go right now in Jesus' name. Everything causing you to worry, worrisome things in your life that have been a result from not forgiving, I command them to cease and desist in the name of Jesus Christ. I speak peace right now to your body, to your soul, to your spirit, to your emotions in the name of Jesus. I command all oppression, get out in the name of Jesus. All depression, oppression, fear, anxiety, go in the name of Jesus. Get out in Jesus' name. Now, Father, I ask you to forgive me for judging. Lord, forgive me. Forgive me for looking at people's situations and judging how they're handling it. You know, you can have a sickness because you judge somebody the way they handled their sickness. It comes to your house. You'll have an opportunity to deal with it. Let's see how you deal with it. That's yucky. So, Father, I forgive me for judging other people's problems. Their marital problems, their financial problems, their medical problems. I don't want it coming to my house. And Lord, I'm asking you to remind me, even while I'm asleep, somebody that I need to ask you to forgive me for judging, or somebody I need to forgive. In Jesus' name. And Father, I ask you to forgive me for murmuring and complaining against those you put in leadership of me. If you're a woman, your husband. If you're a man, your boss, your pastor, your the government, I mean, the king. You know, if we lived in England, we would understand the respect issue that they have to have for the Queen. I mean, they curtsy. Their behavior in the presence of the Queen, they get it. And back in these days, they got it. There's a thing that comes to my mind, and I don't even remember which fairy tale it was, but it was like the Queen of Hearts. And she said, off with their heads, because they didn't do what she said, or they complained, off with their heads. We don't want to do that. We don't want to cut our heads off for spite to murmur and complain. So, Father, forgive me for murmuring and complaining. Help me to have a thankful heart. Forgive me for having a critical eye and judging them. There was something else that I thought about. I didn't have it in my notes. Maybe I did get it, though. I think it was the spirit of death. Okay. Lord, remind me if there's anything else. Oh, idolatry. Yes, thank you. Father, forgive me for idolatry that would cause my iniquities to be visited upon the third and fourth generation below me, the children of the third and fourth generation. Forgive me for wanting to be my own God. And Lord, show me if I have idolatry in an area of my life. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, that's a good start. We'll see you at 6 o'clock in the morning. We'll be here, right here. Oh, and let's see, there's something about 6 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah.
Well, come and pray for others as they're being prayed for. Have an atmosphere of prayer here so that it's conducive to prayer. Amen. Good night. Have a good night's sleep.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.